Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome back to us. Wait, it's not welcome back, it's way back, isn't it?
Can't be welcome back. We're welcoming the guests back.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
We are on season 3 of Two Girls and the World.
Woo.
Are you buzzing to be back?
Yeah, I am.
Are you?
Yeah, but I actually can't believe it's been 5 weeks since we've not. Record.
I know, me neither. It's gone really, really quick.
It has, but I'm like so glad we're back to recording.
Yeah, and normally it'd be nice to have a little break and like do some stuff and then talk about it, but we've both done fuck all.
I know.
So sorry. Nothing to talk about here.
No, we've got bits and bobs, but we just want to start this episode off by saying that this episode is about trying to conceive. It's a topic that a lot of people asked us to talk about, and we just want to start it by saying that both Charlie and I weren't trying for a long time. And so if you're someone who is struggling with infertility, or you've been trying for a super long time, you could potentially find this episode triggering, and it maybe isn't one that you want to listen to. You might want to come back in the next episode. We're going to be purely talking through our personal experiences and things that we learned along the way, and hopefully it will be helpful for people who are maybe thinking of trying to conceive in the next year or so, or maybe you're right at the start of your journey. Also want to just put a trigger warning because there will be talk of miscarriage. So yeah.
Okay, should we go straight into it?
No, catch up.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, catch up. So okay, what have you been doing?
I've just been being pregnant. I'm not joking. Mike comes home from work and he's like, what have you done today? I'm like,
I'm pregnant.
Agree, like, what do you mean?
Nails.
Like, what did you do?
Oh, I miss it. Do you know,
being pregnant?
Yeah, I get that. I honestly get that, like, pang when, like, people are going through it and talking about it. You know, I loved it. It was such a precious time.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think maybe when we did the episode on me being pregnant, like the bonus episode, I don't know if I said this in the episode or whether I just thought it, but I really felt like I was going to be someone who does not enjoy being pregnant whatsoever because of the way I was feeling at the time, and that I'd just be someone who just really enjoys motherhood.
Yeah.
And I actually feel like...
You've done a 180.
Yeah, since then. So I think I was maybe 15 weeks, if it was 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'd say in the last couple of weeks, symptoms wise, I don't really have any, just kind of thriving.
Yeah.
And I feel so calm in my mind.
Second trimester is just fucking great.
It is, but at the same time, I ended up going for that private scan, didn't I? Because I was like, I've got no symptoms. Yeah. What the hell? No bump, no nothing.
Yeah.
And it really like messed with me a little bit. And people were like, just enjoy not being sick. But I was like,
I know.
I can't.
I do get that. I wouldn't have been one of those. I saw your story and I thought, oh, we just chat. I'm not going to like respond to it. Because
yeah.
I'm like, you're asking everybody else, really. But I would have been the one that said, oh, don't bother. Honestly, enjoy. Don't go for a scan. Like, just like relax. But do you know what I didn't think of?
What?
I always had such a bump. I feel like it's the fact that you don't have a really like... big that's bump. Like inverted commas, a big bump.
I'm sure you've all seen our post by now. People loved that,
yeah,
you know.
But I was really worried people thought I was being like tight to you. Like, you know, you've like, I'm saying you've not got a big bump, oh, but no, that's not what we were doing.
If people think I'm just like boring, yeah, Joe, even when I talk about it on my story and I'm like, just look like I've had a six pack of Stella, yeah, people are like, be kind to yourself. And I'm like, I'm just so lovely to myself.
It is. Yeah.
I'm having a laugh. We're all having a laugh.
Yeah.
Apart from you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. Yeah, it's wild.
Because I did get that vibe a few times. Like, you know, like people are being like, oh no, like, you know, every bump is beautiful. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh no, I know. We're just doing a trend.
I know. One thing about me and Charlie, we're probably not going to be that serious.
No, yeah. So yeah, if I had like a bump as small as yours, mm-hmm, I think I'd be like, am I even growing? Yeah. Like, I think that would push me over the edge to go get a scan.
Yeah, yeah.
So I fully get it, even though I would have been in the camp of fucking relax, you're all good, you know.
Yeah. No, fully.
And I'm glad I didn't say that now, because you fucking booked a scan within 5 minutes.
I mean, do you know what? I'm really glad I went for one. And I don't know if I should say this or not, but I find the private scans feel so personal and they're such a nice experience. So I've had two so far. Like, one was before my 12-week scan. The second was like a couple of weeks ago. Maybe I was 18 weeks. What?
How many more do we think Vic's going to have before the kid comes?
I think the kid, so. The baby. I've got my NHS one at 21 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you don't really have one then, do you?
No.
For like until 30 weeks or something. No.
No
even
that's
less.
It.
That's it. Yeah, I'll definitely go for, because I want to go for a proper 4D one, I think. Maybe about 30 weeks I'll do that.
Okay.
But I enjoy them. I really like them.
Yeah.
And I find the NHS ones a little bit impersonal. And like, I've had two NHS ones. Mm. The first one was actually okay, because I was like 6 weeks and she knew I was going in there because we thought there was a problem.
Yeah.
And so I think she was being super, super nice. The 12-week one, she said nothing for about 10 minutes. Mike's going, is everything okay? She just goes, just give me a minute. Uh-huh. So we're looking at each other thinking, what the fuck?
Do you know what though? Like, just to, like, is it to caveat that or whatever? But I really get it. They're just scanning for anomaly. Like,
they care about the health of you and your baby.
They're literally just like going through, they're doing the checklist, checking everything's how it's meant to be. They're not trying to be like, oh, and you want to have a look? Like,
yeah.
I remember that when Rick was sat on the chair, he could see what she was looking at during the scan. I couldn't even see
it. Yeah, you're just like looking at a wall.
I'm laying back looking at the ceiling. Yeah. Like, I'm like, Rick, what is it? Like, you know, can you see anything? Yeah. And he's there, is silent as well, because he's checking. And I'm just like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah. But they just want to check the health, and they're not bothered about you having a nice experience.
I know.
In the next 5 minutes, the next fucking pregnant person's coming in.
Exactly.
For their scan.
And I get it. And I'm fully understanding. But my point is, I would book at least one private scan throughout your pregnancy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm gassy. Every time I burp or fart, I do anything minging, I'm like, it's not me, it's the baby.
Even though you did it just as much without baby.
Exactly. But yeah, what I'm saying is, even if you have one private scan experience throughout your whole pregnancy, I would do it, because it's a completely different experience and it's so nice.
Yeah.
And you can go, I didn't do this because I was silly, but where I went for my last private scan, my friend got a Groupon voucher, £30 she paid for the exact same place. But I think because I booked it last minute, I thought, can't bother doing the Groupon, then having to ring her and then, you know, get it all sorted. But you can get them on Groupon.
Ah.
So it's like £30.
About Groupon.
I know, me too. I forget about that.
Is it not like dead and gone?
No, it absolutely still exists. do you know, my dad is one of those people who, he will find a voucher for fucking everything.
Really?
Yeah, he will.
Oh, like, my kind of guy.
I know. So like, if he's booking any sort of hotel, maybe like more of a UK hotel, he'll find a voucher. If he's buying anything, he'll find a voucher.
Really?
Don't know where he finds the vouchers, but he'll find a voucher.
Oh, I love that.
I know, me too.
I do remember to check Top Cashback.
Yeah.
But that's about as far as I go.
Oh, he's obviously on Top Cashback as well. Like, yeah. Anything for my dad to make or save a bit of money, he's on it.
Yeah.
Not, he doesn't need to.
No,
but
yeah,
but he does it.
Yeah, but that's sometimes, I honestly think that mentality is how sometimes people do become successful.
Yes, I agree.
But anyway, before we go down that road.
Anyway, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Jungle gym every Tuesday.
Jungle mayhem. When we've not been, because we record every Tuesday, guys, but we've not been for like 5 weeks. I've been taking Richie to this play, soft play in Radcliffe every Tuesday. Oh, he goes wild. He's really lovely.
Do you love it though? Do you? Is it big so you get to go in and
yeah.
Is it kind of like a wacky warehouse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
And they do like quite nice coffee and food and stuff. And my mum's come with me, obviously. My mum loves being involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, we take him there every Tuesday morning. So that's what I've been up to.
Now, what have
I did Heaton Park Food Festival just gone. Do you remember we did that last year?
Yeah.
And Mike drank my breast milk.
Yeah. Was that this weekend?
This weekend just gone.
Oh, I didn't know you
Guess
went.
What? It was fucking hell.
Oh, no.
Hell.
Why?
Awful. We all
so
had a
bitter.
Terrible time. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So it was me, four friends with their partners and babies. So we all had kids.
Right.
Apart from Gary. Gary came. And it was in a different area of the park than last year.
Right.
You know, like we had like that table and seats.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
was quite spread out, quite like nice. It was packed.
Oh, really?
So we brought we brought like blankets mm-hmm. and like some camping chairs, and we thought we'll make a base and the kids can kind of like, you know, run about, like the ones that can walk or yeah. whatever, because there's a few babies. And like we kind of had this idea of how it was going to be, and it couldn't be anything further than what we wanted. Yeah, so it was packed, like there was hardly any grass to walk around.
Right, so you're like treading on
people. Yeah, you could knock someone's drink over by just walking too close to where they're sat.
Right.
Richie just wanted to leg it. If he could have got lost, it was that busy.
Wow.
Which was quite like anxiety inducing.
Yeah,
because he does just, he loves to just run.
Yeah.
And we were picturing like having a bit of space. No, there was a lot of queues for the food and drink. It was just, it was not what we imagined. It was funny, like my friend put in the group chat after we left, well, that was one of my least enjoyable group experiences we've ever done. And we were all like, me too. Oh. Obviously, at the time, we were all looking at each other like, this is fucking shit.
You're trying to be like a bit positive about it. You don't want to be the first person to be like, well, this is shit.
Yeah. But it was just not good. It was hard. You know, when it just feels hard. Yeah.
But so did you have any nice food to like counteract
the shit
experience?
Yeah, we had some nice tacos. So that was good. Nice.
I think we got really good tacos last year, didn't we?
Yeah, like the brewery ones. Yeah, that's what me and Rick were excited
for.
And it had an Oasis tribute band. So I think that pulled a lot of people in, you know, because Oasis had just done that. I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, that's going to be good. Still on the Oasis high.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was absolutely packed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But it was a nice day. It had potential if none of the kids were there.
Yeah, right,
basically.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was bad. It could have been really great.
Yeah.
But it just did not feel good with all the kids.
Oh,
they even
okay.
need to be, it was just not right at all.
Right.
Anyway, so we did
well, you're
that.
At that time in your life now, aren't you?
I really am.
Everyone's a mum.
Yeah, Lauren says to me, like, you know, if we sometimes chat, she does make me feel good. Like, she just says, like, just reminding you, you're in the hard bit.
Yeah.
Like, this is the hard bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know you still will get hard bits, like at newborn or whatever, but this is very much recognised as those hard, like, toddler years.
Yeah.
Where they're not quite old enough to, like, really do things with them. They can't really understand everything. They're pure chaos. It's just very messy.
Yeah.
Everything's a bit hard.
Yeah.
It is fun, though.
Yeah. It's quite good, though, because you've got quite a few friends who've got babies quite close together.
Yes, but right now we're not seeing the benefit.
Yeah,
because they're all
yeah.
too young, but we are going to be fucking winning in a few
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah. But you all have that understanding of each other. I think if you say you've got someone there who's not got a kid, they're probably like, what the actual hell is this? Whereas like, if you're stopping a conversation every 2 minutes because you're legging it after Richie,
they all know.
They get it.
Yeah.
I think that's quite nice that you've got that.
It is actually. Yeah. We'll have some nice times with the kids and I'll have a second, hopefully,
yeah,
at some point. And then you might have a second and they'll all be like quite close in age.
Yeah, that would be really
and then
cute.
And then it gets really great. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And you don't play with each other. But then after like, say, like hit each other. Good amount of years, then you're just, you're golden then.
Yeah, you're flying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think so. There's probably some people listening thinking, my friends can date each other. They fight and stuff like that. But that's why I'm holding on to, so don't fuck it for me. That's what I'm literally like grasping onto.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
So
shall we talk about how we got these little gremlins here?
Yeah, let's do it. So I think we'll start by sharing our trying to conceive experiences.
Yeah,
we'll fire back and forth some questions, and then after that we have had quite a lot. This is probably the most question boxes we've had sent in to the Two Girls in the World page, isn't
it? Yeah, no, yeah.
Like, so it's obviously a topic that people want to hear about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll go through some of them. There's some kind of dilemma situations. Mm.
TCC is affecting people that aren't even trying to conceive.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. It's a big thing. It's a huge topic.
Yeah.
How
many cycles did it take you?
So it took, so I'd had four cycles of actively trying, but we stopped. We were doing the whole, we're not trying for two cycles before that.
Yes.
So that was from the November.
Okay. So it took me four cycles with a pregnancy in between.
Mm-hmm.
But previous to that, we had five cycles of trying before we stopped.
Yeah.
So my situation was just a little bit weird. We started trying, then Rick proposed, and then I planned a wedding. We said we'll completely stop. Mm-hmm. We'll do the wedding in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
Did not try, like actively not trying within that time because I thought, you know, I don't want to be pregnant at my wedding, blah, blah, blah. And then we had honeymoon in. Actually, that's a lie, because you just said about the whole you had 1 month not trying.
Yeah.
In Bali, in April,
yeah,
we were like, you know, we were...
Yeah, I know, because I walked in. I was like, Charlie! And then I was like, oh. I forgot about... I've never forgot. It's never left my mind. No.
So we weren't trying because we were getting pissed and just having a good time, but we weren't not.
Yeah, you know?
So actually there was that. But then May got pregnant, had a miscarriage.
Uh-huh.
June didn't get pregnant. July got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's not four cycles, that's three. I'm just making this really messy. Basically, didn't have too many issues, did we?
Yeah.
With the length of trying.
Mm-hmm. But I think the first time you were trying and five cycles.
Oh, yeah, that was hard.
I remember. Mm. There's some times where I think about how it's something I'd never experienced and I didn't know too many people who were going through that. And there's so many times now I've been through it and now that I'm pregnant, I think I just wish I knew more to be able to support you at that time. Because I know I was like one of those people who was saying like, it'll happen when it happens sort of thing. And like, that's not what you want to hear.
It didn't affect me hearing that though, because I believed that myself.
Yeah.
I have the hope. I know it can get to a point where hope feels very hard to hold on to.
Yeah.
But I still had hope within that time. And I think it was because, this might sound weird, but my cycles were fucked up. And I had hope that it wasn't happening because I had an issue.
So
not that I wasn't just blindly like, everything was golden and it wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. I also would find that more like frustrating.
Yeah, because it was a problem. So when you talk about them being fucked up, what? Why were they fucked up?
Like, I would have a really short luteal phase to the point where a pregnancy wouldn't even be able to happen and attach within that time, because I would start shedding before I would start. I call it, oh God, this is so funny. I call it barbecuing.
Oh, you do? Yeah, I know. I'd be like, so are you barbecuing?
Yeah, because it happens so often. I needed a term. Rick came up with it. It wasn't even me. It's when you get like that brown stuff, which is actually old blood.
Yeah, which I never would get.
Which you never get before you come on your period, mm-hmm. which means I wasn't shedding fully from my last period.
Yeah.
So that, like, what was happening within, like, my uterine lining, like, an egg, it wouldn't even be able to implant.
Yeah, it couldn't
properly.
Even stick because
couldn't even stick because of all this like old mm-hmm. blood. I mean, I hope I don't say anything wrong because this isn't all fresh in my mind.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
wasn't even like the time I got pregnant. It was like that time I was trying before we stopped. So,
yeah.
But anyway, that was like my understanding and the research and mm-hmm. like what I got told at that time.
Yeah, but also just because I do like something that I've become really aware of. Mm. I think from having my Instagram and so many people having access to me, like sharing their stories, I genuinely think there'll be some people who don't have a clue what a luteal phase is.
Oh, right.
So okay. I think we need to just elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, so that's your phase after ovulation.
Yeah.
So running up to you, that's a time when, like, you know, energy feels low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I would often get my like PMS within that. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, I get it when I like I come on. Like some people.
Yeah, oh no,
like,
I get it day after ovulation.
No, do you?
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. Well, so, I did, yeah.
But you get really affected
really
by
affected.
The different phases.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. Whereas, so after ovulation, that's when you've got that massive spike in progesterone.
Yeah. Yeah, and then your luteal phase, everything's like kind of dropping really.
Yeah.
And you're not feeling your best. That's when, like, you know, people will say, like, lean into like the softer like mm-hmm. exercise. Is that I've never like cycle synced for anything like that. But
yeah.
Am I right in thinking that's like when people say take it easy?
Yeah.
Or is that when you're on your period?
So, well, people some people do cycles as like seasons. Uh-huh. So luteal phase would be your autumn. So you're starting to wind down a little bit, you're starting to take it easy a little bit, and yeah. then when you're actually in your on your period, they call that your winter. That's when you should fully hibernate.
Right.
But this is the whole we spoke about the cave. You should go into a cave and just bleed and all of that.
Yeah,
and like people
yeah.
genuinely try to live their life in that way
yeah.
and it's just not really like
yeah.
feasible.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're saying your luteal phase, so just after ovulation,
yeah.
wasn't long enough.
It wasn't long enough
for
it
you
was...
to actually implant.
Yes, before I started shedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that because I got, when I decided to come, so I used to be on the pill.
Yeah.
And I was copper coil. I got the copper coil out ahead of trying to conceive, thinking of the understanding that it doesn't really, there's no time waiting period, you know.
Yeah,
you could,
there's no hormones in it.
Yeah, it's just like go time.
Yeah.
Not the case for
mm-hmm.
me. My cycles were not okay after it.
Yeah.
I wasn't great on it, but I didn't like any of my other options. Anyway, I think we've even talked about this in
yeah,
our hormone
yeah.
episode, haven't we? But anyway, my cycles were not okay. I would have what's classed as flooding.
Uh-huh.
So when I then would come on my period, it's what it sounds, I would flood.
Mm-hmm.
Like with blood, like the amount I would lose within the first few hours was more than you meant to lose throughout a whole period.
Yeah.
So I knew, even though I was still trying, I kind of knew things weren't good. And
yeah.
that's when I decided to, when I was try again, I would do the acupuncture and get my cycles kind of sorted, which I don't know if it was that, but
yeah.
something changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you do... I think you did, but I don't know if you did something or if it was just your partner, like a fertility testing.
I went to the doctors and got tested.
Right.
Because it was to do with my hormones, though, because of the short luteal phase. And
mm-hmm.
I wanted to know, like, you know, maybe I didn't know if I was looking for an answer of them saying, look, you can't get pregnant while things are like this.
Yeah.
And God, it's all coming back to me now. I had the test and they did the test wrong.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah, because then you took them to Jan and Jan's like, is it right?
Yeah, I asked the doctor. So they did my test. And you know when you just ring the doctors to check and they go, yeah, everything came back right. And I was like, that's so fucking weird because things are
it's also not what you want to hear when you know things are not right.
Yeah, but also, okay, things are good. There's nothing crazy wrong, you know. And then when I started with Jan, she was like, what were your test results? So I had to ring the doctors, had to fucking move heaven and earth to get them printed. Oh, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
What, I can't access my test results? Oh, well, let me see. So anyway, they managed to print them for me and I went in and picked them up. Like, fuck me, come on, how hard is that? But anyway, brought them to her. She was like, oh, this has been done wrong. I wish I would have like thought about this. Like, I forgot. So I can't remember what it was that was done wrong.
They'd mixed two of your phases because you had to go for a few blood tests, didn't you, at different times of your phase, and they'd mixed them up.
Yeah. So the result, either way, it wasn't an accurate, it ended up having to be dismissed because it wasn't done right. But by that time, I'd then been seeing Jan and things were, I don't know if it was the length of time from coming off the coil.
Right.
I don't really know whether
the acupuncture,
but things were really starting to sort itself out and I was having closer to 28 day cycles.
Right.
Where I would have like a 21-day cycle because my luteal phase would just like, I'd just start bleeding.
Yeah. But did Rick do a sperm test?
No.
I don't know why I thought he did.
No.
All right. I fully thought he did. Never mind.
He didn't.
Right.
Because I also, something to mention, I did have a miscarriage, which I can touch on, but I also had a suspected miscarriage in that 5 months. So I think when we were in Italy, when he proposed, actually, I felt really similar to the times. It's more like hindsight. I did say to him at the time, this period is weird. Like I had like more like tissue in it. And like some of the things weren't quite adding up.
Yeah.
Because I was a bit late.
Yeah.
And then I came on, but I was on holiday and I didn't think, we were on an island at that point as I didn't go and get a pregnancy test. So I think it had like managed to like implant, but then it was like a chemical one. Yeah. So I had that, but then we'd literally stopped anyway. And I think there's something to be said for having a break. I know it can seem like the last thing you'd want to do. And I think I would have found it really hard to take a break if we didn't have a really like valid reason to, which was me planning the wedding, something to take my mind off it. But I think that break did us the world of good, even though we weren't trying for like a year before it.
Yeah, almost like because you just said that in that first 5 months, like that felt like a real... You were really getting in your head about it. But then when you came back to it, maybe less so.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we always get told, like, you know, it can take up to a year. That is so normal. It can take up to 2 years. And it's not classed as struggling to conceive. If it takes up to a year, you are not technically struggling to conceive.
Yeah, like, but you can't really get help, can you, until you've been trying for a year.
And what I did, I don't know if it's like a little tip for people or whatever, but someone told me, make sure you inform your doctor if you've had a miscarriage.
Yeah,
because obviously if you do have three, then you are there's more access to support.
Yeah,
I think it's still the length of time you've been trying. But as soon as I had like that absolutely confirmed miscarriage, when I got my positive test, and then I started bleeding, rang the doctors, and then they said, just confirm again, like, you know, when you do another test that it's like says negative, which it did. So they had that on my record just in case I was to then go on and have two more. Think, right, okay, there could be an issue
here.
Like, you're not just going to the doctor like, I've had three miscarriages, and they're like, oh, right, okay, you know.
They're aware of it.
I just think it's a good little tip, you know, if you are at that stage and you have maybe had a miscarriage.
Yeah. So these are like classed as like chemical pregnancies, because maybe other people who have miscarriages a little bit later on, the healthcare system are already aware that you've had a miscarriage.
So this is literally like, so I did a positive test and then within, I think, 2 or 3 days started bleeding.
Yeah.
I think.
Which people can bleed, yeah, can't yeah. they, so when I they're thought, pregnant?
Is it implantation yeah. bleeding? I'm not so sure. It was like a very light period for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, did a test, still pregnant. And they said, wait a week. I was just bleeding. After the week when I did the test, it was negative.
Right.
It wasn't a painful experience. Mm-hmm. It was just, it just felt like a very light period. The only thing that was a bit hard and a bit emotional was that I was just so buzzing I'd got a yeah. positive pregnancy test. Mm-hmm. And do you know what, actually? I think the most upsetting thing for me was that I was so unsure of how my journey was going to look. I'm like, right, I've just got pregnant.
Yeah.
Absolutely know it. For the first time, I've got my test and I've had a miscarriage. What is the future going to look like? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be one of those? Am yeah. I going to have loads of miscarriages? Are we going to really struggle? Like, what have I got ahead of me?
Yeah. And I think something I often think about, and I've had other friends who've had miscarriages, and I have asked a few of them, like people who I'm really close with, like, when you go to try again and you get that positive the next time, are you just kind of waiting for a miscarriage to happen?
Yeah.
Like, is there kind of no, or like minimal excitement?
Yeah. Do you know what was really mad? So, not very like me, but I videoed us finding out with the first one, and me and Rick, especially because it was our proper first time trying.
Yeah.
The May after we got back mm-hmm. from honeymoon. So it was like, and we were both the video, we're looking at each other and Rick goes, no. Oh. And like, we're laughing. Like, you know, like that nervous laugh. Yeah. Like, are you joking? This has just happened. Like, what the hell? It's our first time. Or it felt like, you know, our first time. And then, obviously, we lost it. And then our video.
You're just fucking laughing.
Our video for the second time. I'm laughing at that. I was like, because I knew it, because I felt exactly the same yeah. again. Some people have no clue. I really felt as soon as I was pregnant all times.
Yeah, I had fully convinced myself every single cycle I'm pregnant. Oh. I was like, my period's so sore. Like, I was like, everything, proper symptom spotting, which I guess we'll get into, like, the 2 week wait, fucking yeah. how you go so crazy.
The hell.
Yeah. But the actual cycle I did get pregnant, nothing.
Oh, you start?
Nothing.
Are you joking?
Yeah. I mean, there was, looking back, there was yeah. like when I was at Coachella, there but was the were, dizziness. There was another time like, when I was
busy,
like
your
being
mind was
sick.
Occupied.
Yeah, it's not being sick. I was feeling nauseous. But apart from that, from like all the symptoms that I thought I was getting because I thought I was pregnant every month when I wasn't, yeah. I actually had none.
Oh, that's really funny.
I know.
No, I get this like straight away like this. My boobs felt different.
Right.
Straight away. And it happened each time.
Right.
And then I felt a bit like just an element, nothing like the proper nausea you can get, but that like, I'm a bit tired, sicky.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah.
Like just a bit like not 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I was like, oh, I know I'm pregnant again. Mm-hmm. I know it. And I was saying to Rick, I know I'm pregnant, but it was too early to take a test.
Yeah.
And then I just decided to do one with him. So even though I was like, I know it, I videoed mm-hmm. it again. And we were, but the video was like, yay. It was like, if I was ever going to share a video, it'd be from that first time. Yeah. You know, we were just like, we just looked at each other and I think I even like clapped like, like there was nothing to give because it was almost like, okay, mm-hmm. it's happened again, let's see.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, oh, we're pregnant. Mm-hmm. It was just like, okay, let's see in a few days.
Yeah,
what if let's do another test in a few days, it might be gone by then.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how felt.
That's how you get with it.
Yeah,
I mean, in saying that, like I haven't experienced loss, and I'd say when I did my test, I was absolutely ecstatic, over the moon, so shocked, like could not believe it, cried for so long. And like when I told Mike, like we was obviously both happy, but Mike was quite apprehensive.
Mm.
And then I'd say the day after that, I woke up and I just tried to forget about the fact that I was pregnant. And I think maybe it's because I was so aware of like how common miscarriage is. Is it like 1 in 3?
Yeah.
I just kind of, was it one in four? I don't know.
I think it might be one in four. I think so. But, like, saying that, like, I think nearly every, bar you, maybe bar a few others. Okay, so not everyone, but yeah, I know a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah, me too.
That have had miscarriages.
In the tax. So when I was 8 weeks, three people, one person who's my best friend, yeah, one of my best friends, and another two people who are like best friends of one of my best friends,
yeah,
all so, like, had miscarriages. People, yeah. And I was like, I really did not feel excited until I think it was maybe about 10 weeks.
Yeah.
But, and that's from someone who's not experienced that personally. And I can only imagine someone who's actually experienced miscarriage.
Yeah.
Like, how much of a head fuck it is, like, when you actually get pregnant.
I've literally think how awful for your first pregnancy to have experienced miscarriage before it.
Yeah.
I do. Even if it's like one like mine that was just very, very early, I didn't even have time to get used to the fact I was pregnant yet. It just adds this element of anxiety and just not as enjoyable.
Yeah,
and
takes innocence and naivety away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, but then again, that's not like disregarding the fact that you could have a baby already, then like have a miscarriage for your second. I'm sure it's all, it's all just not fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think, oh, how nice to have that first pregnancy without experiencing loss beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we talk about maybe some things that we both did?
Yeah.
In our TTC
journey. Yeah. Okay. Supplements. I really rated mine, but then again, like, what do I know?
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it? But they are rated really well.
Yeah.
Zeta West. Have you heard of Zeta West?
Yeah.
I did Zeta West. Mm-hmm. I think I got the package. I also did get Rixum as well.
Right.
And he's up for, he'll take vitamins and that.
Some people are
like, oh, there's no way I could get my husband to ever. And I'm just like, oh, that's another fucking hurdle to get over, you know.
But Mike and Rick are both kind of like gymmy people.
Yes,
so
true.
I think they're naturally health conscious and stuff like that.
Because always remember, like, it's 50% you, 50% them.
Exactly.
You could do fucking everything going.
And if your partner's doing nothing.
Yeah. Then you're just fighting a bit of a uphill battle, aren't you?
Yeah, so I had Wild Nutrition, which is also really highly recommended for both fertility and your pregnancy supplements.
Yeah.
So I had Wild Nutrition.
Yeah. Did you take that Vital, what's it called? Is it Vital DHA? Oh my God, what is it called now?
DHA?
Yeah.
I don't know if the Wild Nutrition fertility has literally got everything in it.
Uh-huh.
I took nothing else. Obviously, I have Simprove.
The only thing I do want to say for some people that are like unsure on what supplements to take, sometimes, like, I'm sure Wild Nutrition is like really good, but some more like, I don't know, like even like the Pregnacare brands
that people recommend,
the doctor will recommend. You have to remember as well, when it comes to folic acid, you want to take methylfolate.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need to make sure it's got the right, when you look at the back of your nutrients, like if you're trying to, supplements, when you're thinking of what to choose, just make sure the recommended daily allowance, the percentage is right for what you need.
Yeah.
Again, yes, it means you have to Google it and you have to do some research. But otherwise, there's no point even buying and taking the supplements.
Yeah,
If it's not what you
not
need.
Not actually doing something. So I took the fertility supplement. So I actually had them for a year before. Mm-hmm. I didn't take them consistently for that whole year. When we actually started trying was when I started to take them consistently. Mm. How long did you just take them when you started trying?
Yes, a few months before,
right?
Because again, I'd read, like, have to remember as well that, like, I was like up for this for a while, wasn't
I? Yeah,
and I wanted to, I was being conscious of stuff like this and doing my research before, because I was in one of those camps that I had to kind of get my husband on board with it. So I was quite prepared. Yeah. It wasn't just a one day, should we start trying?
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
like that for me, mm-hmm. which as some people it is for, isn't it?
Yeah, that was like me and Mike. Yeah. Like Mike was just kind of waiting for me to be ready, because Mike's obviously yeah. older than me, and
yeah.
he never wanted to like push me into it, but we'd always kind of said 30th birthday, mm-hmm. after my 30th birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, so that supplement.
Yeah, we both used pre-seed.
Yeah, we both used pre-seed, which you're not like fully convinced with pre-seed, are you?
I have something else that I think is, because it really makes sense to me.
Right.
That might, like, you know, when we're thinking about, oh, what do you think it is that could have really helped? We have no clue.
Yeah.
But you know, when you just have that feeling, mine yeah, was my yeah. menstrual cup.
Right. But which yes, I'm not, you're I wasn't convinced. Fully, like, I'm not fully convinced. But this is the thing. Like, we can say all this stuff that we did.
Yeah.
We don't have a fucking clue. It could have been none of that.
No.
It could have just been the fact that that cycle was a cycle we were meant to get pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we've just spoke about this before. If you're in your 20s, mm-hmm. each cycle, there is about 25% chance
yeah.
of you getting pregnant that cycle.
Yeah.
It reduces to 20 when you're in your early 30s, mm-hmm. then there's a rapid decline when you get to 35.
Yeah.
It starts going down to 15%. So that's, imagine, so that's me.
Yeah.
Like right now, a 15% chance, uh-huh. roughly, because it'll depend on other things.
Oh, yeah.
Of me getting pregnant each cycle. That's not fucking good.
No.
Is it?
No.
Think of it in other terms, like a 15% of anything. Like you'd be like, oh, that's not that great.
Exactly. And I guess if you was to kind of like spread that across a year, I don't know, I can't do that math
no,
so quickly,
neither.
But
me
that's
neither.
Like a fair few cycles if you're looking at a 15% chance. But yeah, like with pre-seed, I think for me, I've spoke about this in the pregnancy podcast, but there was, I'm a big spiritual person. I'm like yeah. there for the signs. And it basically got suggested to me by two different people on two consecutive days. And it was, I felt like I genuinely, the cycle we got pregnant, I just kind of fucked everything off. Mm. We did pre-seed. Well, we just used pre-seed. Mm-hmm. And if anything, it made sex more enjoyable because it's just basically a lube. But you can put it on the penis like you would like a lube if you're just having a shag for a good time.
Did you
but,
insert?
Yeah, I inserted
yeah, right,
it.
I did too.
And apparently with pre-seed, like sperm loves it and can thrive in it. It basically mimics the egg white cervical mucus
yeah.
that you produce.
It makes it easier for it to flow through, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just helps it.
Yeah. And there's people, this definitely wasn't a thing for me because I felt like I had quite a bit of egg white cervical mucus, but
me
some
too.
People don't.
Yeah.
And so something like pre-seed.
I get a lot.
Yeah, me too. Like uh-huh. I'd sit on the toilet. So I knew. I knew.
To touch it as well. I loved
Oh,
touch
I didn't really
it.
Like touch it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I knew when I was going to ovulate. So I got to know my cycle like that well that I knew I'd get my egg white cervical mucus in a way that when I'd go to the toilet, it'd be stringing down. Mm-hmm. So I get that on day one. And then
yeah.
I knew I was going to ovulate 2 days later.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what I learned from doing yeah. the ovulation strips on top of like keeping on top of the cervical mucus.
Yeah.
But some people don't even, I mean, they're not aware of like the egg white cervical mucus, which is literally, it's basically like the white of an egg, and it's quite stringy mm-hmm. and gooey,
like,
and if you've
slime
not,
a little bit
yeah, and if you're not getting it kind of dribbling out your fanny, some people will like put their fingers up and pull it out, and it when you like pull your fingers and your thumb apart, mm-hmm. you should see something kind of stretching.
Yeah.
And that's how you know that that's your fertile mucus.
Yeah.
And pre-seed basically mimics that.
Yeah.
But then, so your like menstrual cup theory.
Yeah. Although, wait one second. You just mentioned ovulation strips. We both did those.
Yes.
That was a help because
I could not recommend them enough.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I thought, great. Did you have the clear blue ones
with a smiley face?
Yeah, me too. I thought they were good because I also did have, before I got that,
just
I had the other one.
Yeah.
Where it gets more, the line gets more intense.
Yeah.
I needed that smiley face.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, those by considering I started doing absolutely everything, by the time I actually did conceive, I felt like because I figured out my cycle, I figured out like when the cervical mucus starts to when I'm going to ovulate, I was just, it made things really easy for me. And like the cycle we actually conceive. So like, I guess this is like another thing, and I did definitely spoke about this in the pregnancy podcast, pregnancy episode, sorry, on the cycle we conceived. So all the previous cycles, I kept starting really early because I was like, I don't want to miss my ovulation. I don't want to miss it. Like, what if I miss it? And on that cycle, I literally waited until I got the positive ovulation test. And then we did the day of the positive ovulation and then the next morning, both with the pre-seed. And obviously it happened. And I think previously to that, maybe we were trying too soon. Like, we were going too early. By the same time I was ovulating, we were like, fuck this. So yeah, definitely would say Clear Blue ovulation strips. Obviously the other ones are about a quid and they're so cheap, but it's, I think it's worth investing.
Especially if you're deep into your journey and you are sick of shagging.
Yeah.
So you just do your ovulation strip.
Yeah.
You know, and you know then you figured out that it's going to be like 2 days or whenever. And then, like, at least just give it, you're all on that day.
You
know, if you are, like, you're not enjoying it anymore. Because that is a real thing, isn't it?
People,
like, get to the stage where they're like, this isn't enjoyable for either of us.
I mean, me and Mike were at that point. But I think we would get to that point when we were at this, when we'd been trying. When, say, for the cycles before the one we conceived, we were, we'd go for like 5 days straight. And me and Mike are not top shaggers at the best of times. So it just felt like day one, you're like, we're raring, we are ready. By like day three, and you're just trying to fit it in around a meeting or getting home from work. And you're just like, fuck this. But then like narrowing it down to those 2 days was just, it just felt so different.
Life changing.
And the thing with the pre-seed as well. I like, I got to a point where I was like, I can't be bothered with all the foreplay and all of that. I just want to get it done. Like, I want this to be a 5-10 minute job and we're done.
I was going to say something for me, which I've never, ever again. And maybe that's why, because pre-seed wasn't like, ooh, for me, I'm a very, very wet girl. Like, and some people aren't at all. So I can imagine why you'd rave more off pre-seed. Like, for me, don't even like need foreplay or anything.
It depends for me, but I think when it comes to like, if we're just both in the mood and we're going to have a nice shag, like, I would get wet quite quickly. But when it came to the trying,
sorry, Ray, I can't stop laughing. My dad's just on the drive, moving the bins about, getting ready to leave, banging about. I can see him pulling faces, knowing he's making noise. And we're just here talking about how wet I am. Oh, sorry, guys.
I'm having a good shag.
Can you imagine? Oh, I just can't. I just was wondering. I bet he could hear. Like, we're not being cool.
We should really do that as like a reel or a TikTok.
I can just see, because guys, there's a mirror right there, so I can see the reflection of my dad.
I mean, I was staring him straight in the eye, like, yeah, it's just had a good shack.
Oh no, don't, I couldn't keep it together.
No, I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
And I could tell by the faces he was pulling, he was like, fuck, he thinks he's gonna get it from me now. I'm gonna like tell him off, because I just tell him off anyway. And I could see him shitting himself.
Trying to do it dead. When you try to do something dead quiet, you'd end up doing it 10 times louder.
That's exactly what was just happening.
No, that was funny.
Oh, that God, was really funny. Sorry.
What was he even saying?
He was just saying about the wetness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but no, I think the thing with the pre-seed was we didn't have to bother with the foreplay if we didn't want it.
Yeah.
I just put that up me and then you could get going straight away. Yeah, so if you're like short on time or you're not really enjoying the trying sex, and I think I might have said this in the sex episode, something Jan said to me, who's the acupuncturist who we both saw, she was like to me, it's absolutely okay if your trying sex feels like it's a practical thing. It's not like enjoyable.
Yeah.
But do try to have that enjoyable sex throughout your cycle as well.
But you can't really help if you're doing it every fucking day.
No, you can't. And some people will really go at it for like the every day of the month to try and get there.
Oh my, really?
Yeah.
But well, if you're listening and you're doing that, like...
You don't need to.
I would say you don't need to.
No.
And maybe just like have a little assess and get to know your cycle mm-hmm. a bit more, because it's not necessary.
No, it's really not.
Like, especially after your fertile window's ended... Before your period,
yeah,
like you know, there's days where it's like it's over, mm-hmm. it's done and dusted.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to be shagging then.
No, you don't. I think
if you don't want,
I think something I really wanted to talk about, because it's something I've been definitely made aware of through people who are messaging me on Instagram and also some friends, mm-hmm. and they're purely going off when their fertile window is because they use the Flow app.
Right.
So Flow app is, it's a great app, I think, for just kind of tracking your period, maybe mm-hmm. when your period's going to come.
Mm-hmm. I never used it, but I did. I use Natural Cycles, but
yeah.
I did have an app similar to Flow.
Yeah.
I think it was Clue.
Yeah, yeah.
Clue. I think it's the same.
Yeah, but it's okay. Just a kind of general app. Mm-hmm. The thing with Natural Cycles is you're taking your temperature.
Yeah.
So Natural Cycles picks up a lot faster when you're going to ovulate and yes. when you have ovulated based on your temperature.
Are you Natural Cycles?
I did do Natural Cycles, yeah. but I didn't do Natural Cycles before I started trying. I just had Flow.
Right.
So because that's what I'd used to track just my period and when my period was going to come for years. But what I found was my Flow app was not accurate for when it said I was going to ovulate to when I actually ovulated.
Yeah.
And so if you're not doing like an ovulation strip, or you're not aware of like your cervical mucus, like your egg white cervical mucus, you could be trying, because your app is saying, yeah, you're ovulating now, yeah. and you're actually not ovulating, and then you yeah. miss the window because yeah. you've stopped then. So I think, like, I understand, because like some of my friends who have had this conversation with, they don't want to get in too deep, they don't want to be doing all the things, because I think it's like, well, if I do that and it doesn't work, then it's gonna upset me even more, because uh-huh. I tried something.
Right.
And there were like, one of them, I said to her, like, listen, you've been trying for quite a while now, and I definitely know it affected her that I'd fallen pregnant.
Yeah.
She was, you know, she celebrated me and all of that, and I never mm. felt like it was an awkward situation,
yeah.
but I could see it. And I just said to her, why don't you just, I've got some ovulation strips left, why don't you just try them
mm.
and just see, and it can be the only thing that you need to try. You don't have to do anything else, just try that though, just so
yeah.
you know when you're actually ovulating.
Yeah.
And two cycles of doing that, she's fallen pregnant, and she'd been trying for ages.
Yeah.
Just by kind of going off an app.
Yeah.
So I just really want to like stress that mm-hmm. if you are someone who's, you like, you want it to happen like as soon as possible, and obviously it's not just as simple as that for mm-hmm. everyone,
mm-hmm.
but it might be that you're not actually having sex when you're ovulating.
Yeah. I think my best advice would be, not like buy this, buy that.
Yeah.
It's more get to know your cycle.
Yes.
But things like ovulation strips mm-hmm. really help you get to know it. But
yeah.
the main thing is getting to know it, whether that's mm-hmm. Natural Cycles. Yes, you have to. I do think you need a few tools to get to know your cycle.
Yeah.
But that's the goal, to understand actually, because you might have a 30-day cycle.
Yeah.
You might have a 24-day cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That depends when your ovulation is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you need to get to grips with when your cervical mucus starts, when it changes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone is different.
Yeah. And I actually found when I started trying, my cycle decided to go absolutely haywire. Like, I'd go from having a 21-day cycle to a 30-day cycle to a 28-day cycle to a 24-day cycle.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell?
Uh-huh.
Like, why is this happening?
That's happened
now?
To me after pregnancy. That's weird that happened.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I was stressing, but like because of, maybe that's why my app was so off with my ovulation.
Yeah.
But some days I'd ovulate after like a week. Other days I'd ovulate quite late on in my cycle.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a bit of a wild one, that.
Yeah. So yeah, getting to grips with your cycle is like the best advice I could give, yeah. I reckon. Really, yeah. All in all.
I think even if you don't do natural cycles, I think if you track your cervical mucus, because that's the biggest thing overall.
Yeah.
Track your cervical mucus, and if you want to do something a little bit extra, ovulation strips, and it will definitely say the clear blue ones, and like that's not because this is sponsored or we've ever been sponsored by them, like
no, but shall I message just... them
just because they are the most like straightforward, easy to read, no nonsense.
And by the way, when we say check your cervical mucus, you don't have to be like sticking your fingers in your fanny. It can be as simple as when you go into the toilet and having a wee and you wipe, look at the tissue.
Yeah,
don't throw it straight in the toilet. That's sometimes how I'll tell.
Yeah, is it like white, clear, slidey,
what's on the tissue? Yeah, I'm like, oh,
not white, sorry,
there's
just clear.
Or sometimes you ever just feel it come out in your knickers?
Yeah.
So but if some people don't have that, check your some might come out maybe on your tissue when you wipe.
Yeah
You know, but you're just not, who looks at, I mean, you look at the tissue after you've done a poo, I reckon, because you want to know what you're doing. But how many people look at the tissue after you've wiped?
No, not really.
So I think that's just like a really quick and easy one to just check. You don't have to be like, you know, adding it to your list as another big chore that you have to be like going and specifically checking.
Yeah.
Just, you know, look in your knickers and look when you wipe.
Yeah. And something that Jan got me to start doing, which to be honest I feel like she must just get everyone to do this when they go to her and she knows they're trying to conceive, is the seed cycling. And I did notice from seed cycling that my cervical mucus got a lot heavier. So if you're someone who's not producing much cervical mucus, which you know there's a lot of people who don't, maybe you could look at seed cycling.
Yeah.
We like won't fully like go into it, but it's dead easy to do. And
you
it's
can Google
no
it
hack.
It's a diagram
seeds. Yeah.
Of what, like, you know, what seed you take at what part you cycle. But again, when some people aren't even knowing the different phases or parts of the cycle, they're like, what?
Yeah. Do you know what I'd say? I feel like I knew quite a bit from you, and I knew quite a bit from like some of my other friends, but like, we obviously went to Jan for acupuncture, and you have that first 2-hour session with her where she's asking you all them questions, but then I feel like she kind of sat and almost educated me on things that I just didn't really know about, and it really put my mind at ease. But I think having that time with Jan, really, more than just going for the acupuncture, that helped me so much fully understand my cycle and what's actually going on.
Because we were talking about this, like, I feel like society and the education we have, like, I didn't learn a fucking thing about this in school.
No.
When the majority of us want to go on and have families.
Don't have sex because you will get pregnant and die.
Like, we spent half our life trying not to get pregnant. Yeah. Then suddenly we're like, well, we want babies now. Mm-hmm. And we have no fucking clue how to do it. We don't know. We have no fucking clue how to have sex. No, we've got no clue what we're doing.
Yeah.
We don't know about our cycles because most of us have been put on the pill by the doctor.
Yeah. We all think, oh, you just have a shag and then you're pregnant and that's that.
We don't know that there's a window. Mm. We don't know about all these things. So actually, unless you're going into it thinking, right, it's not called a journey for no reason. This is like an educational journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we have to figure all this stuff out, whether it's by the internet or paying and going to see someone like Jan.
Yeah.
Again, like, you could probably see a fertility specialist or whatever. There's lots of people you could see.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to do that, like, no wonder people are struggling.
Yeah. And they're trying for so long.
So long.
Even, you know, they've been told you haven't got infertility.
Yeah, like there's no obvious issues. Your bloods have come back okay. The sperm's okay. All this is okay. And you're like, well, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like it's not been set up for us in a way where we're like going into this fueled with like knowledge and, you know, knowing how to do it. Because we just don't.
No.
It's just us all passing things on to each other, like you said.
Yeah.
And if you're the first one in your friend group and no one else has done it before you, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Do you know, you're like the first one, you're the pioneer. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're the one doing all the TikTok research and then passing it on.
Yeah, no, it's funny. But, like, I also understand that, you know, the people who, they don't want to know too much and they don't want to try too much because
you said that.
Yeah, I did.
That's not me though.
Yeah,
I'm but like, tell me every single thing.
See, I wanted to know things, but I didn't want to do things. Like, I didn't, I went into it being like, yeah, I'm not doing the ovulation strips. I'm not doing my temperature. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing anything, basically.
I remember.
And then literally a month in, I was like, natural cycle, seed cycling, acupuncture, all the supplements. Like, I hadn't started pre-seed there, but like literally doing absolutely everything you could possibly try. Yeah.
I was kind of the frame of mind, like, I've been ready for a while mentally.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go in with this armed with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready. I feel like I've waited, like, long enough in my head.
Yeah.
Although now I have a child, I'm like, thank fuck I had those wild, great years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild now, but in a different sense. Yeah. But, I just wanted to know absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got natural cycles months before I started trying because I wanted to get to know my cycle before I started trying.
But
that's just me, and it's absolutely fine to do that. And you're not a psycho, and it's absolutely fine to not do anything and not think, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you do have to protect your peace because we know, like, we'll get on to the 2 week wait. Like, what a mind fuck it all is.
Yeah.
The emotional, like, stress of trying to conceive is just so much. So I do think there's a lot in doing what feels right for you.
Yeah.
Although I feel like that can get, like, noisy and messy in your head. Like, actually, should I be doing something else?
Yeah.
Like, you know, should I be doing more? Should I be doing less? Mm-hmm. All these questions that come up with it.
Yeah.
Like, do you, like...
Yeah.
It seems a long time ago for me, but as I'm saying it, I'm like remembering, like, it's just really hard.
Yeah, I got in deep, but I think something I'd absolutely say do not do is, like, stay off trying to conceive TikTok, because that for me was insufferable. Right. And there's people who they start doing tests from, like, the day after the ovulation, and they're doing them, like, every single day.
Pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they'd be doing all, like, these are my symptoms today and, like, blah, blah, blah. But they weren't pregnant, because they'd do a pregnancy test at the end of, like, when you should really be doing your pregnancy test. And it was just, I just found it absolutely wild, thinking, like, oh God, like, should I be doing more? Am I doing too much?
Uh-huh.
So I would honestly just say stay off, like, trying to conceive TikTok, because it's not helpful. It's wild.
Yeah, I don't think I did much. I did do bits of research off TikTok.
Yeah.
But mostly, like, you know, when it's like the actual healthcare professionals.
Yeah, like an actual, like, gynae and stuff like that. Yeah,
not people on their journey.
Yeah, no, this was, like, just girls who I was seeing. But I think because you watch one video, then my whole thing was that, and it was just a bit wild.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pause.
Yeah. We basically just had 75 hours between recording the last bit.
We have.
Having a bit of a technical malfunction.
Yes. Which is a bit of a weird mystery, and that's why it's annoying. There's no real answer.
Yeah, and we're not tech girls.
No, we are not techie girls.
But anyway.
The 2 week wait. It's just been a 2 week wait now for us. Fucking hell. But no, we were going to talk about the 2 week wait club. Oh my God, the worst club to be in ever. Well, if it ends in a negative test.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not fun that at all, is it?
No, I think, like, I definitely found it sent me a bit loopy.
Yeah.
And I'd be symptom spotting. And because I was someone who gets quite bad PMS anyway, like, everything I would naturally get because of PMS, I'd be like, pregnant? Like, there were so many times I'd say to Mike, I'm pregnant. I know I am.
Saying it with your chest, like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Was he eye rolling? He wouldn't to you, but would he be eye rolling?
I think, sometimes he would just go, you're not.
But, like, he saying that with his child, does he know? How does either of you know?
I know, but, I mean, he was always right, wasn't he? Because I was. But... Do you know what I would say about that 2 week wait? And I know a lot of people do this, and I would say, don't do this. Don't start taking pregnancy tests.
No.
I
was good.
Yeah, me too, to be honest. I think there was maybe, like, one cycle I took a pregnancy test because I had something on, I think, and it maybe required me drinking or something. And no, it was a month before Coachella, because I thought if I'm pregnant now, then I can't go.
Yeah.
So I took a test, and that was like the day before my period. And it was like one of those where I'd convinced myself I'm pregnant, and these cramps are implantation cramps, but no, they were just my period cramps.
That's the torture. So many symptoms for coming on your period are so similar to the early symptoms of pregnancy.
Exactly. So it really is a head fuck. But yeah, I would say don't be doing pregnancy tests. Like, wait until you're due on your period.
Yeah.
Like, and I know people, it's hard for that weight, but why upset yourself twice? Like, I think getting a negative pregnancy test and then coming on your period a few days later, it just really is shit. So that's what I would say anyway to people in the 2 week wait.
And I say, do plan some really nice things in your 2 week wait.
Yeah.
Things that you actually love to do, like not even just go into the cinema if you love movies, but watch your favorite movie at home.
Yeah,
like it's good for you. Like when you're in the car, maybe don't put Two Girls Podcast on. Put your favorite music on instead. No, you know what I mean. Like, it, like I think it's a time to really try and. Easier said than done, but like feel like happiness.
Yeah,
because I know that's like really beneficial to the whole like process.
Yeah,
which I know sometimes is a bit annoying to hear, because you can be like, look, people that aren't happy,
get
people
pregnant.
That like, you know, we've always said this one, haven't we? Like, drug addicts get pregnant.
Yeah, like crackheads get pregnant. Yeah, I'm here trying to eat organic meat and see cycling or acupuncture into all this.
But I think that brings it back to, if it's not within your nature to do the most, don't. Because you're not gonna feel good doing it. And yes, you can get pregnant not doing the most.
Yeah.
It happens. Like, you know, so just do whatever, like, feels good for you. And I think especially in that 2 week wait, do all the nice stuff that you like to do.
Yeah, definitely. And then people said to me that's something they do with the, it's not really the 2 week wait, but they planned things that they couldn't necessarily do while if they were pregnant for like a day after or those few days after their period was due, because at least then you've got something to look forward to. And like I understand the people who are like, I don't want to plan things because, you know, what if I'm pregnant or what if I'm going to be ovulating then? But I think everything is cancelable, and you would rather have things in your diary than have apps like let your life revolve around trying to conceive. And I was definitely someone who was letting myself fall into that trap until the month of Coachella, because I was like, well, I've got Coachella, so it don't really matter. So we started going out for dinners, and I'd started, you know, having a glass of wine again, and I'd started like actually just having fun in my life. And it happened.
Yeah, and I really think that's really important.
Yeah.
I do. I think it always seems to happen when you're in that like better state of mind, but it's just so hard to
get
advice
that.
On that. Like, no, like how can you tell someone that's in the thick of it? Like, you just need to be a bit, do some nice things.
Yeah,
just
well, maybe
be a bit
it's like
happier. Like it just, and that's what's tricky.
But it's like, I guess with me, the big thing was that I had Coachella to look forward to. Like, I would not have just booked that. Like, that was a work situation. And, but maybe you still book your holidays, you still plan your bottomless brunch with the girls, like, you still have all of that stuff in. And because then you're looking forward to it, like your whole life isn't revolving around when am I ovulating? Okay, now when am I due on my period, or when can I do a pregnancy test?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but it's a tough one, and I just want like everyone who's experiencing the like the mental turmoil of the 2 week wait to know that you're really not alone, and it does send everyone a little bit crazy.
I used to find it dead exciting though, did you?
Yeah. Well, like, it's a bit like looking.
Do you know what it is? Oh my God, like it's just come to me.
What?
It's like, it's a bit like gambling.
Yeah, isn't
it? Like, I just, like, it's a bit like you've got a feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a feeling you're going to be pregnant. You've got a feeling you're going to win the lottery.
Yeah.
And you put your numbers on. And you're kind of a little bit excited to see. And then you don't. And it's, oh, well, you know, there wasn't loads of chance of it happening anyway.
Yeah.
But then if you do, you're like, you've fucking won the lottery.
Yeah,
it's like gambling.
Yeah.
Because you're not in control.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what's going to happen. You could. There's a chance you could. There's a chance you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Sponsored by Betfred.
Be gambling aware.
Yeah, no. No, I was just thinking about it then, like, because sometimes I get, do you ever do that, like, put the lottery on and get, like, a little bit excited?
I never ever put the lottery on.
You've never once put the lottery
on? No.
It's something like, it's just like a little nugget for me. Sometimes I just remember it exists.
Yeah, it's it's something that, like, older people do.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Although I do want to start doing postcode lottery because you see it, do you?
Yeah.
I need to do that because you've got to be in it to win it, and I'm not in it, so I'm not going
to
win it.
You've got to be in it to win it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll start putting that lottery on. but yeah, so it's like gambling.
Sorry. It clearly, like, no one can dispute the fact I said that just came to me. People are probably going to be listening and thinking, what the fuck is she talking about? But yeah, no, it just, that's just how it feels. I'm sticking by that.
Okay, love that. I think something that I found really, really helpful that I know a lot of people do not do, because a lot of people go into trying to conceive or, like, just trying for a baby and they do not tell a soul. But I'm actually really, really glad that I was open about it with, like, obviously I was open about it with over 100,000 people online. But, like, my best friends knew the ins and outs of everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that I had that, and I'm so glad I didn't go through it by myself.
Yeah,
because I can imagine, especially even just like the little bits of advice that you get, and have you tried this, or like, how are you feeling, or whatever. Like, I think it makes a difference to feeling like, because it is quite a lonely experience. And so I do really believe, like, if there is someone in your life who you feel is who's close to you, who you feel like you can be open with, I do recommend, like, having someone to talk to about it. But I would say, in saying that, there was, like, you, who, like, I spoke to you a lot about it, and then two of my other friends. And I think, and we all kind of, one started trying a little bit earlier, but it all started getting more serious from January. And there was a point where I thought, right, we're all talking about the trying to conceive. How do we broach the subject when someone actually conceives?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, we've not discussed how we're going to navigate that. And it turned out one of my friends she'd fallen pregnant before me, but we not really spoke. I think we both had stuff on.
Yeah.
And then when she rang me to tell me, I just found out. So it was like she rang to tell me, was like, and then it was one of them where I was like, and how far along are you?
Yeah.
And then she said, and then I was like, oh, I'm like 4 weeks or something, like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, when it came to the other friend then, I ended up telling, like, those friends, like, everyone who I was talking about trying to conceive with, I ended up telling, like, all of those people really, really, basically, the day after I did a test, or, like, the week after I did the test, because I think it's a bit weird, like, if you are going to be so open with people about trying to conceive, to then not be honest about when you fall pregnant, and maybe if you have got a friend who's on the same journey as you, like, having that conversation beforehand, like, if one of us does fall pregnant, how are we gonna break that news? Because I think, like, the way my friend FaceTimed me and told me, if I wasn't pregnant, I wouldn't have liked that situation. Not that I wouldn't be happy for her, but something I was so conscious of when I fell pregnant was anyone who I knew was trying, or I thought they were trying, I did not tell them to the face. I didn't ring them. I would text them, and I would say, like, I sent a message to quite a few people basically being like, I just wanted to let you know I'm pregnant and I understand that you might have, I know you'll be really happy for me, but I understand there might be some sadness attached to me being pregnant, and that's absolutely okay.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let you know over text so you can like feel however you want to feel before we actually see each other.
Yeah.
And but don't get me wrong, everyone who I sent that message to rang me straight away like, what the fuck? Like, why didn't you ring me, or why didn't you tell me to my face?
Yeah.
But I just know, like, I wouldn't have liked that. Mm. Kind of done back to me.
Yeah.
So I think that's something to be really mindful of. But yeah, if you are being open about trying to conceive with your friends, have that conversation of what do we do when someone actually falls pregnant? Like, how do we navigate that situation?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a big one.
Mm.
A really, really big one. I don't think I experienced that too much myself.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. But yeah, I remember that feeling. I did have one friend that had been trying for a while, and I just remember that feeling of like, oh, like how do I say it or whatever? How do I tell? I did do it over text as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, but I think what you've said is just absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's also absolutely okay for people to feel sadness around your good news. Mm. And it's not a personal thing.
No.
And I think it's really important to remember that, like, we're not the center of everyone's world. Like, everyone's going to attach their own emotions and thoughts and feelings to whatever you share with them, and that, like, it's okay for them to feel like that. It's not a personal thing.
Yeah. I remember when I wasn't when I was trying, but it was when I knew I wanted to try.
Mm-hmm.
Rick wasn't quite ready, and I remember I would feel like, oh, like that's the best way I can describe it when I see people announcing their pregnancies on social media.
Yeah.
But in a way, like, not a full-on sadness, but that hopefully is going to be me one day.
Yeah,
a little bit of excitement, but a little bit like, oh, like, you know, oh, another person's pregnant. When is it going to be me?
Yeah, yeah.
When is it going to be me?
Yeah.
I know it's going to be my turn, but when is it going to be? So I can imagine, like, when you're actually trying and all the announcements are floating about, I can imagine a bit more sadness there. I just don't feel like I fully experienced it a lot, you know, because we didn't end up trying for too long.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I didn't experience it, to be honest. And when I would see people on Instagram announcing, I was very much like, oh, when's it, like, it's going to happen for me.
Yeah.
It would just make me feel more like, okay, it's happened for them, it's going to happen for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, had I had been in a situation, say, like, when my friend called me that time, like, I don't know how I would have reacted.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody sent, I think we can, like, move on to this question that somebody sent in, which I think is kind of on topic. And she'd said, I've not personally had a problem with trying to conceive, which I'm very grateful for. However, I have some close friends that are going through IVF, and I feel like they've distanced themselves from me now that I'm pregnant. I by no means shove my pregnancy in their face. However, I can't help the bump. I almost breeze over the topic when I see them and try to talk about other things, but it's like the elephant in the room. And I think it's such like a for like the your friends going through IVF, like, that is such a, I could only imagine the amount of like fear and like stress that going through IVF puts on people.
Yeah.
And I also see it from her side, where like she's got this really exciting thing, she's almost trying to like hide the facts that like, I've not had that exact experience, but one of my really close friends, like, she's spoken about it on Instagram. She had a miscarriage. So when I was 8 weeks, she'd miscarried. So she was a couple of weeks ahead of me. And I was like, you know, I did the most to make sure she knew that I was like there for her and stuff. But then in the back of my head, I was thinking, does she even want me there for her when like I'm like pregnant and she's now not? And so I was doing the same. I was skating over the fact that I was pregnant. She'd message me and she'd actively want to know about how I was doing. And I'd just always be like, I could literally be heading the toilet that morning, but I'd be like, Yeah, really good. How are you? How's work? How's, like, you know, just like trying to pretend that, no, I'm not in this situation.
How's work? How's your grandma? How's your big toe doing?
Literally.
Anything.
Just really trying to, like, power it off. And then it got to a point where she'd messaged me something quite specific about something to do with my pregnancy. And I just ended up messaging her and saying, I don't want you to feel like I'm leaving you in the dark when it comes to anything to do with my pregnancy. Like, I do want to share everything with you, and I want us to, like, have this experience together. But I also don't want to be insensitive, and I don't want you to ever feel like you need to be okay with me being pregnant. And she said to me quite a few times after that, like, I am so excited for you. And I do want you to talk about, I want you to tell me everything. She was like, obviously I'm sad that I've had a miscarriage, but the thing that I'm most sad about is the fact that a couple of my friends are pregnant and I just want to be pregnant too. But she's got quite a similar mindset to us in that she's like, but I know it's going to happen again. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm not going to have another miscarriage sort of thing. Which I think is maybe not the case for everyone who's been in that situation with a miscarriage. But yeah, I think for this girl, I would say, like, it doesn't need to be the elephant in the room. Have a conversation about how you're feeling with this. And it's not a case of making it, like, really personal or, like, they're doing something to you. It's saying, like, listen, I know I'm pregnant, and I'm so mindful of the fact that you're trying. Like, do you want to be having conversations about my pregnancy, or would we all just feel better if we don't talk about it? And, like, just have that conversation, because you never know, they might want to know and they also might not. And I think as long as you have that conversation, respect the boundaries. Like, hopefully there's other people in your friendship group or other people in your life who are excited about you being pregnant and you can talk about it with.
Definitely.
What do you think?
Absolutely everything you just said. I do have one that I read in inbox, and I think I just want to read out because I had a very, very immediate response to it. You know when you have a strong response? It's I'm trying to conceive. I'm 34. Tried to persuade my hubby to try for a baby years ago, and now he's all for it. I potentially need a hip replacement due to a condition I had when I was younger, and I don't know what to do first now, as pregnancy and labour is going to cause a lot of issues for me, but I'm also worried if I delay it anymore, it'll be harder and harder to conceive. That's my struggle at the moment. Love the pod, girlies. Get the hip replacement. Like, there's no question. I know it must feel frustrating because, like I said, I've kind of been in that camp where I was ready before my husband. But I'm telling you now, do anything that you think could be difficult if it's in your power before getting pregnant. I'm telling you now, being pregnant and going through labour, but then having to look after a child whilst needing a hip replacement, that means you're going to have one with either a baby, a toddler. Like, that's worse. Like, I just have such an immediate, it's so obvious to me what I would do.
I just had
to say that. What do you think about that?
Get the hip replacement.
Absolutely. If you need a hip replacement, get that now. Do not, like, the most fittest, able-bodied person with perfect hips can get fucked from pregnancy and labour. Even you're experiencing
And I thought I wouldn't get any sort of, like, hip or back problems because I've exercised my whole life.
That doesn't even...
I'm hobbling. Sometimes.
So I just had to... When I read that one, it was just screaming out to me what I'd do. I mean, and if anything, if you have the money to, freeze your eggs. If it's going to be, like, if you're that worried, and if it's, like, a possibility for you... Just freeze your eggs and do it when you recovered from your hip replacement.
I feel like we've really touched all bases.
Covered
all bases. Like, obviously, like we said at the start of the podcast, this podcast is probably more aimed at people who are thinking of trying to conceive, or you're right at the start of you trying to conceive. There obviously were questions about things like IVF and IUI, and it's something we haven't experienced. We're obviously not professionals, so yeah. It's something that we literally cannot talk about. But there's definitely podcasts out there and people out there who do talk about it and they're really open about it. So I'd probably kind of scope those people out. If you're someone on that journey and you've listened to the whole podcast and you're thinking, oh, well, they've not touched on that, it's purely because we can only talk from personal experience.
That's it. Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, this has been a long episode, but it's a big topic.
It is, because I feel like we could still talk about more, really.
Yeah, we really could. So, yeah, I hope some of you have found this helpful, like even if it's just listening to two girls talking about trying to conceive, because people don't talk about it.
Yeah, and even if it's just an hour of your time within the 2 week wait, where you just need to pass an hour.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I hope it's helped.
Me too.
We obviously, this is our first episode back of season 3.
Yes.
And we really love it when you like DM us and let us know your thoughts on episodes. Like we love feedback. Obviously, if you can subscribe and leave feedback on the podcast app and all of that, but I personally really love it when people DM and let us know your thoughts. Like I think it helps us, obviously we see the amount of people who are listening, but I think it helps us recognize like what type of people are listening to the podcast and helps like guide us on what we should do in the future.
It does, definitely, because I feel like you're used to this with your platform, but I'm not. So when people like DM on the two girls Insta, I get more of an idea. I'm like, oh, so that was actually or people really like that episode. So yeah, we do love it when you're messaging.
Yeah,
it gives me a bit of an idea because I'm fucking clueless.
Yeah, so please do, like, don't ever think, oh, they don't want to hear from me, they probably had 75 other messages. We want to hear from you. Yeah, we want to read them. We want to reply. We want to have chats with you. So yeah, hope you found that episode helpful. Like, as always, you can ask us any more questions that you might have.
Yeah. And if you think a friend might benefit from listening, like there's some people that, you know, they're at the age they're not trying to conceive, but the friends are.
Yeah.
Just share the episode with a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pass it on. Right. Thank you. We love you.
And then we see you next week.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.